This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Mustang Sally. Guess you better slow than Mustang down. Mustang Sally, my baby. Guess you better slow than Mustang down. You've been riding all over town. Oh, I guess you gotta put your flat feet on the ground.
Oh yeah, a little bit of the Commitments. Do you remember them? Hard to remember them, but the song. I remember the song, Mustang Sally. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am indeed Paul Molloy, along with my buddy and my partner, Big Ed Davis. We thank you for joining us on Freedom Works this morning. This is Good Friday, and probably one of the furthest things from our minds. I would say this is the Good Friday of all Good Fridays where we probably don't have that as a priority because of what is going on right now. It's Friday, April the 10th, by the way. In a few minutes, we're going to be talking with Arthur Bloom of the American Conservative, and we're going to talk about how the American media is in bed with China, even to the point of covering for them during this pandemic. I mean, it's unbelievable. Wait till you hear what he has to say. And the U.S. may end up spending $5 trillion in response to this coronavirus. $5 trillion. Think about that. We're going to ask the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceresi, whether or not that makes any sense. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Okay? And if you've got cats, at home, there is a chance they are susceptible to the coronavirus. I did not know that until yesterday. We're going to tell you about that. So stay tuned for the details. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 greatest actors that never won an Oscar. I think you'll be surprised at some of them. By the way, we are sponsored in part by the best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop over in Dunedin. It is on Overcash Drive just north of State Road 580. It's in the Overcash Plaza. Now, right now, they're closed because here in Pinellas County, barbershops are not considered an essential business. Tell that to my hair that keeps growing down the back of my neck. At this point, I need a haircut, Ed.
Well, that and the barber can't be, you know, it has to be 6 feet away. That's hard to cut hair when you're 6 feet away.
Well, can you not put it on one of those poles, you know?
Sure, we'll try it on you first. I was thinking about getting one of those sucking cuts. You know, the vacuum thing, and then it cuts your hair at a certain level.
Can we go out and find those, self-cut?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the self-cuts really work.
You know, Lola said to me, she goes,
in the mirror.
Lola said, I thought you used the same clippers you use on the dogs.
Well, you've got short hair, which is good. You don't have to worry about all of the details, right? You just
it gets to a point where I'm just going to put a hat on. When I get tired of, you know, it just looks kind of raggy, I'll just throw a hat on.
I mean, that's one thing. You know, it's funny. Your nails continue to grow.
Yeah.
Your hair continues to grow. There are certain things. Why is it that certain businesses are essential and a barbershop is not? I defy
well,
you.
It's not the essential thing. It's the guy's going to get too close to you. He's going to be touching you.
But can he wear a face mask? Seriously, can't you wear a face mask as the customer? Can't he wear a face mask?
But remember,
can't he wear rubber gloves that then he will throw out as soon as he's finished with you? You can do it. That's what dentists do.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, to me, a barber is as important as that. You know what? We'll ask Andrew.
And not only barbershops, but hair salons, too. Same thing.
Yeah, and I'd like to get them back in business if we can.
As much as it, as we've been inconvenienced this last, it's only been 3 weeks. Can you imagine if this happened, say, late October, November, December?
Oh, yeah.
Where we would have had to gone through not only Halloween with the kids Christmas. And all that stuff, Thanksgiving,
Christmas
would have been, New Year's
been,
Eve.
It would have been a tragic wow. Christmas. Tragic.
So
Christmas. And how do you explain it to the little ones, you know?
Yeah.
You're right. There's always a bright side, right? Anyway, we got a lot to talk about on the show. And, you know, the main thing is these numbers. And they keep going higher. And right now, we've got we've almost got 17,000 dead in the U.S., from the virus. And worldwide, can you believe we're approaching 100,000 dead? 97,200 are dead worldwide. Now, that's what we know. That's who we know have died. But you can suspect that number is well over 100,000 by now, particularly when you think about China and the way they fudge their numbers. That alone could make it, you know, higher than it is. I'm going to be very interested in talking later in the show with Andrew, the master barber, who wishes he was at his barbershop, by the way, cutting hair, because mainstream America must be upset. The government is poised to spend nearly $5 trillion, $5 trillion in response to the coronavirus. Where is that coming from? Who is going to pay that? Does it just go away when the virus goes away and then we forget about it?
When this is all said and done, we'll have a bunch of car washes. Raise that money back.
Thank you, Ed, for that very cogent piece of advice. And also a few picnics. Sell tickets, right? While there is bipartisan consensus on the need to help all of the millions of people that have lost their jobs or are furloughed, as well as the struggling hospitals and the local governments, certain people are starting to say, you know what? Maybe we've gone overboard on this. And I think that's a very good question to raise. I've been hearing more and more people suggest that it is time to start figuring out a way to bring back businesses, allow them to open up, allow them to figure out how they're going to deal with their employees, and let's get on with life. Because as long as we're all cooped up inside of our houses, waiting for somebody to, what is that, raise the checkered flag? Is that what we do? Are we waiting? Is there one person somewhere in Washington that's going to say, okay, you can all come out of your houses now? No, we've got to start opening things up. Now, I know that it's controversial. I know that you have to be careful, but you can't shrivel up and waste away. And I think we're getting to that point where we need to start seriously considering bringing things back. Now, I don't know how they've been able to keep the stock market, quite frankly, as high as it is. Now, they are dropping interest rates to zero, and they're, I guess, the people that buy and sell stocks are encouraged by the offense, I guess you might say, that our government is taking. So we've just got to you know, kind of step back maybe and give that some thought. Anyway, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, Jordan Bloom will join us. Stay tuned.
That'll be the day when you say goodbye. Yes, that'll be the day when you make me cry. You say you're going to leave. You know it's a lie, 'cause that'll be the day when I die.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network. The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on this Good Friday. We hope you are keeping safe. Freedom Works. Delighted to have Jordan Bloom join us. Jordan is the managing editor of the American Conservative. And I saw him on Tucker Carlson the other night, and he's talking about something that really is kind of shocking, I would suggest, about how the American media, our media here, may be in bed with China, even to the point of covering for them during this pandemic. Jordan, welcome to Freedom Works.
Hey, glad to be here.
I'm really interested in talking with you about this situation with some of the cable TV news stations, quite frankly, and how they are refusing to be, I think, honest about what is going on in China. And then I hear you talk about the fact that take a look at some of these connections. Tell us a little bit about this logic that certain...
Yeah, so let's kind of take it from, maybe 10,000-foot perspective to start. So in the last kind of 20 or 30 years, it's not just a media problem of all of these big companies in America kind of starting to open up, do business in the Chinese market. And it turns out it's not just, it's not just the suppliers of Walmart, for example. It's also our big media companies. And just in the last couple of years, the biggest of them, the ones that, count as part of them, the big networks like CBS, ABC, NBC, they've become these enormous vertically integrated media conglomerates such that NBC, for example, the same company that's bringing you your internet is also bringing you Saturday Night Live. That's, kind of Gilded Age level stuff. That's like Andrew Carnegie owning both the railroads, the furnaces, and the mines, right? And so this is kind of a phenomenon that's all across the business world. But in the case of the media, it's especially interesting because they, in a pretty significant way, shape our understanding of world events. And so... And it turns out, so not all of these companies are identical offenders. In particular, I think like Viacom comes off looking a little bit better. They do still do a lot of business in China, but they're trying to sell their Chinese television station. And recently, you probably remember, they poked the panda a little bit with that South Park episode. But the one that comes out of this looking really bad is NBC. Which not only is one of the biggest companies doing business there, they also probably have the biggest footprint in the United States media. So the combination of those two things, I would argue, gives them a pretty big incentive not to cover the Chinese government in a critical way.
Yeah, it seems like, and I don't watch NBC or MSNBC all the time, but it does seem like there's a cover-up going on when it comes to the number of people that are dying in China. I mean, come on. There are more people.
Right.
There are more people that have died from this virus in China than in the United States. Now, let's just be honest. Any simpleton can figure that one out. And yet, these cable stations in particular seem to have like a muffle over their mouth.
Right, and they've kind of, a couple of these narratives that the Chinese government really wants to get out there, namely that the only new cases that they've been getting are coming from foreigners, and then talking about Chinese aid, some of which looks like it was faulty, that the tests and the ventilators not working. We've seen a couple of stories about that. And both of those narratives with which the Chinese government is interested in getting out there, NBC has been promoting. Now, one of the details in the piece that I wrote that I didn't get to talk about on Tucker, it's kind of interesting. I was kind of just perusing the New York Chinese consulate website, basically the diplomatic office of the Chinese government in New York City, and they put up a blog post on March 10th about a meeting with Comcast executives in Philadelphia. And Comcast is, of course, the company that owns NBC Universal. And it talked about, you know, how it was very productive, how, you know, we have a great partnership here. We're enabling all of this cultural exchange. They talked a little bit about the theme park, which I went into a little bit on Tucker. And then they also said, we hope that that U.S. media is going to be covering this coronavirus in a fair way. Now, when you sit down with a Chinese diplomatic official and they tell you that, and they also have leverage over you to the tune of billions of dollars in the form of this theme park, that's a little bit of an implicit threat, I would argue. And so that's kind of the way this kind of works is not the typical kind of bribery corruption that you think about when you think about corruption. It's leverage. They have basically, you know, they can bring down the hammer on all of your investments in the country.
Yeah, there's no question about it. That money always does talk, and you have to be very careful. We're talking with Jordan Bloom. He is the managing editor of the American Conservative, and he has penned a piece called China's Long Tentacles Extend Deep into American Media. And, you know, now there's a little bit of, I guess you could say, pressure on the director of the World Health Organization, who also seems to be in bed with China and is covering for them. So we've got the media here on the one hand, the guy that runs the World Health Organization on the other. Are there any networks, Jordan, that you think are doing a fair job of presenting what's going on with China and the virus in general?
Well, I can definitely tell you that the American Conservative has been doing a good job.
Oh, I bet.
But in terms of television, look, I mean, I think in general of the companies, they all, they're not equal in this respect. And ones that have done relatively well, I mean, I think it's frankly conservative media that comes out of this looking pretty good. So Fox, for example, recently sold pretty much all of its Asian operations to Disney in just the last couple of years. And then the other big conservative media company, Salem, has I think no Chinese exposure,
mm-hmm.
And so there are no conflicts there. But with respect to the World Health Organization, I mean, what you get there with the media and that is really a toxic combination of kind of in general reporters, and you know, I hang out with them a lot. I'm a reporter in D.C. They have a lot of credulity toward experts. They put a lot of trust and a lot of faith in them. And so, you know, when some, you know, World Health Organization bureaucrat, you know, claims to be, you know, in the know about all this stuff, I mean, they tend to trust it. So there's kind of the usual biases and the usual kind of sensibilities that you get with reporters. But then you also have this additional piece of actual financial incentives.
Mm-hmm. Do you think after all of this is over with, God willing, it's going to be over with soon, that we're going to go back and reassess all of this? Are we going to take a second look at, say, MSNBC or NBC and Disney or, you know, whatever, and say, you know, what's going on here? Where are your loyalties? What do you think?
I certainly hope so. And though this is kind of the media companies are a great way of kind of beginning the conversation, I really don't think it can end there. You know, we've benefited in a lot of ways from kind of these deepening relationships with China. On the other hand, it's hollowed out a lot of jobs in America. So, like, we may have a toothbrush at Walmart that's 50 cents cheaper, but the trade-off of that is a less secure country. So each person needs to think about, are you willing to pay a little bit more for stuff that's made in America and is actually, you know, made by Americans, too?
Yeah, that brings us to Donald Trump, who's been trying to, I think, prior to the epidemic, convince people that we got to buy American, the tariffs on China,
right.
the idea that we want to reopen manufacturing, for instance, in our car industry, among others. So he seems to have been leaning that way to begin with. Maybe this is beginning to make him look somewhat prescient. What do you think?
No, I think so. And I think you're right that Trump definitely has a lot of instincts that are in this direction. The trouble, of course, with the Trump White House is that there are a whole bunch of different factions at play. You know, the guy that comes out of this, I think, looking pretty good is Peter Navarro, who's been saying this kind of thing for a very long time. But there are people in the White House that really don't like him. For example, they were when he was talking about how we need to bring back drug manufacturing and all of this stuff, you know, there were people in the White House leaking nasty grams about him to the Daily Beast. So this is, I'm hopeful about Trump's instincts, and I think Peter Navarro is a very smart guy who kind of gets this stuff. But the battle over these issues is very much within the Trump administration itself.
Yeah. Now, Donald Trump holds a press briefing virtually every day, late afternoon generally, takes some hits from the media about, what's going on, gets into a little bit of a verbal battle. In fact, I kind of watch it because I know it's going to be a soap opera. As soon as he stops reading from his teleprompter, and by the way, you can always tell when he's reading his stuff and when he's not. You know what I mean? He's really something.
Sure.
He's something to watch. But then for 5 minutes he'll take some calls. I mean, some questions, and he'll get some hits on, how early did you, why didn't you act earlier? This, that, and the other thing. I mean, he is taking some hits, and then he'll fire back, and it becomes political all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. But because of this thing with China, I wonder if the people of this country are starting to kind of open their eyes about this being in bed with countries like China. Do you think in the long run this is going to be an elixir or whatever you want to call it for us kind of getting back to being Americans, patriotism and everything
else? Well, if you think about how we thought about patriotism in the Bush era, there was kind of there was a way to be patriotic, but it didn't really require much in the way of sacrifice from people. The big message from the Bush administration after 9/11 was go out and buy stuff, right? What we're talking about right now is something that's a little bit different. It's something that's probably going to require sacrifices from Americans. What you're talking about, there definitely is a disconnect between both what the business community thinks about China and what the media wants you to think about China and where the American people are actually at. The polling shows a majority of, I think it was 54%, according to this Harris poll, want to actually see reparations from China. And then I think the number was even like 77% want, or they blame China for the virus.
Yeah.
Now, Americans are not that unified about virtually anything. So I do think there's a shift there, but what that shift looks like when the media and the business community are kind of on the other side of it, and how do they come to some sort of accommodation? Basically, this is the sort of thing where Americans have a strong enough views about it where they're probably not going to just be able to be like buffalo them with, the MSNBC and the narratives and all of that and this kind of typical free trade, free marketeer stuff. I mean, people are angry.
Very.
Business as usual is not going to work anymore.
Very, very angry. You know, the other thing I'm thinking, the fabric of China is kind of, I don't know how fragile this has made China, but just think about it. They had the Hong Kong demonstrations going on before the virus. Then the virus occurs. All these people around the world looking at China for the infection that has just swept the globe, and you can't keep that kind of information. You can't muzzle your own people that long. It's not as easy to muzzle them as it used to be with the internet and everything else. Do you think that this is kind of maybe another step towards the dissolution of China as a controlling government? I know it's a crazy question, but what the heck? What do you think?
I'm not an expert about Chinese domestic politics, and I'd be a little bit reluctant to opine too much. Whether it means that they're I think the chance of them breaking up is a lot less substantial than the chance of... So if there are basically two poles in the Chinese Communist Party, there are basically the Dungis, Deng Xiaoping, and then the Mao faction, people who like Mao. Now, Xi Jinping is very much on the Mao side of that. Mm-hmm. He's a big admirer of Mao and all of that. But there are still Dungis that have a lot of influence in Chinese politics. And when it comes to Western trade, so like Xi Jinping is a very much of like a saber rattler. He likes to kind of talk about the West and how they're bad and all that stuff. But there's a faction in Chinese politics that doesn't agree with that. And the reason they're a lot more cautious. They see that the prosperity that China's had for the last 20 or 30 years is basically they depend on the West. They depend on us buying their stuff. And so that's a liability, too. And so if they push too hard and cause a backlash in the West, that could have significant consequences for China. And so if that happens, there could be some people in China saying, maybe Xi, you shouldn't have pushed so hard. And what that looks like, I don't really know.
Right. Jordan, it's a real pleasure to have had you on. Really appreciate your thought on this, and I hope we can talk again down the road.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Jordan Bloom, managing editor of the American Conservative. All right. Going to take our break. When we come back, we've been talking a little bit about $5 trillion in coronavirus spending by our government. We'll talk with the proprietor of the Barber Poll. Are we just going crazy with what's going on with our money?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
During these trying times, our troops need our help more than ever. Right now, blood supplies are at an all-time low. Just one pint of blood can help save the lives of our servicemen and women. So give the gift of life. Give blood. It's safe, simple, and saves lives. That's courtesy of RNC Auto and Truck Repair, your complete auto shop with quality work at prices you can afford. For a free estimate, call 727-447-3343. That's 727-447-3343 for RNC Auto and Truck Repair in Clearwater.
Tom O'Brien is on the Tantalk Radio Network. Every Monday through Friday from 4 till 5 p.m., Tom takes to the airwaves as he breaks down the day's market action. Tom combines his technical knowledge of the markets with his years of trading experience to take your calls and questions every market day from 4 to 5 p.m. Whether you're new to trading or an active day trader, don't miss out on the Tom O'Brien Show live on the Tantalk Radio Network from 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
There's no need to feel down, I said, young man. Pick yourself off the ground, I said, young man.
Isn't the Village People very good? And that's exactly what we need on this very kind of depressing Good Friday. By the way, a couple of polls here, and they're very interesting. A Fox News poll, approval of President Trump's job performance is now at a record high. A record high, 49%. Now, that doesn't sound good, but that's better than he's ever gotten before. 49% approve of the job Trump is doing. 49% disapprove of the job. So it's a 50-50 kind of a deal, even though it's 49%. Plus, another poll I found very interesting. A majority of Democrats apparently want to nominate New York Governor Andrew Cuomo for president instead of Sleepy Joe Biden. And my goodness, Cuomo's getting a lot of FaceTime on TV. I bet Biden is gnashing his teeth, you know, sitting in his little room in his Delaware home, gnashing his teeth. Let's bring in the proprietor of the Barber Poll. I want to ask you, Andrew Ceresi, do you think that the Democrats would dare sweep aside Sleepy Joe and put Andrew Cuomo in as their nominee?
Well, I already predicted that, remember?
I think you did, but I just was kind of giving you a, I'm giving you a real cushy question, my friend.
Yep, there's no question about it. I believe they're going to try and put Andrew Cuomo in, or Andrew Cuomo in there. You know, he's got dark hair. He tries persuading the people. He's a con artist. And that's good, because
what does the
Trump
dark hair?
Trump will make hamburger out of him, too. There's no question.
What does the dark hair have to do with it? Is he sort of like
he looks younger.
The Latin lover kind?
You know,
okay.
Yeah, he looks a little bit younger. You know what I'm saying? He has some vitality to him. You know, you look at Biden, he's just there rolling his dentures around like Nancy Pelosi, walking into walls and everything else. You know they got to get rid of Biden. You know, and I both know that.
Well, it's very interesting. Plus, I think sometimes Biden doesn't make any sense anymore when he's talking. I think I'm not the only one I can't be the only one that has noticed that Biden seems to trail off in his thought process.
Well, Biden, you know, he needs to stop the embarrassment of himself and just back away, to be honest with you, because the guy's got dementia or Alzheimer's, and it's just sad to see anybody go through that, let alone the guy running for president.
Yeah, do you really think he does have a little dementia?
No,
really?
There's no question about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a doctor, and I can see these things.
Right.
I've seen many of people with dementia and Alzheimer's come in my barbershop, and I can tell you he's got all the symptoms.
Speaking about barbershop, Andrew, I don't know if you heard, but a little earlier we were talking about why a barbershop shouldn't be an essential business. And if indeed you were allowed to open up, couldn't you be like sort of like where, you know, when the dentist, you go in there and they wear the mouth and the face masks and when they're doing your teeth and this and that and the rubber gloves now? Couldn't you slap on a face mask and put a pair of rubber gloves on and do people's hair? I'm serious.
Well, you know, we go through full sanitation in the barbershop. We have sterilizers on our stations. All the combs go into the sterilizers. We wash them before we even put them in the sterilizers. All our clippers and all the blades are sprayed with disinfectant before we use them at every person. And of course.
Yeah.
I wouldn't see no problem with that. And as far as not calling them essential, if they're not being essential, I got a million people calling me.
Exactly. I'm saying the same thing. People's hair does not stop growing during a pandemic. And by the way, I can vouch for how clean,
Paul,
and beautiful
your
looking.
Your hair doesn't stop growing when you die.
That's true.
Okay?
And neither do your nails. It's kind of spooky.
That's right. That's right.
You're right about that. And I do want to put in a plug, and I mean this sincerely. He has the cleanest looking barbershop I have ever been in. Now, I've been in a lot of barbershops over the years, and I can tell you, he keeps it so squeaky clean. That's another reason to go there. You know you're going to be healthier when you come out of there than when you went in. So that's a plug for you, Andrew. But, you know, we got to get these businesses back open again. Now, I know you're a big proponent of that. We've talked about that. Here's the question I'm going to ask you. Who is going to make the when are we going to kind of, is there a grand poobah? Is it going to be President Trump that says okay, and he waves the checkered flag,
you know,
and away
Paul,
we go,
you know,
or what? What?
You know that you know what I said the other day when we were talking. I said 43,000 from this virus, right?
Yes, you did. I remember that
okay,
number.
And you know what amazed me the most is when little Dr. Fauci got on, and about an hour after I told you 43,000, he lowered his thing to 60,000.
That's true.
Okay? This is nothing but a farce, Paul.
I'm telling you, your numbers are almost, yeah, your numbers are becoming amazingly close. Right now, we've got about 17,000 dead in the U.S. from the coronavirus.
That's right. And how many dead from the flu? I believe like 22,000. But
right.
Paul, what they're doing, Paul, is you can die of a heart attack right now, and they're putting coronavirus. They showed pictures of death certificates already filled in with coronavirus, Paul.
Yeah, there could be other reasons that a person dies. Now, he may be infected, but it may not be why he died.
You can get hit by a car right now and die.
You can have the virus and get run over by a beer truck. Yeah.
Paul, this is a bunch of bull crap. This, I think, is going to beat Orson Welles' War of the Worlds with the people being in a panic, okay? I mean, you see people running around in spacesuits in Walmart.
You're right. And for those of you that are not old enough to remember, Orson Welles did a radio show on a Halloween, and I think it was 1938, way before any of us were around. And it spooked a bunch of people that thought it was for real, talking about the Martians invading New Jersey. And it was great. But well, it was all phony. Yeah.
Well, this is even bigger. It's the whole country and the world.
Yeah.
Listen, this the globalist elites, okay? And just like the gentleman you had, look at China's in cahoots with the news stations. Enough is enough. How many American people are going to sell their soul for money, Paul? Don't they have the pride no more with the parents we were raised with? Don't they have the respect for this country? Don't they have respect for themselves that they worship the mighty dollar? Look, I can guarantee you, Smithfield Farms was bought, what, back in 2013 for $4.3 billion or something by the Chinese? Okay?
Yes.
I can guarantee you that business might be up for sale because they've been having so much publicity. I mean, they make a bunch of different products. It's not just Smithfield Farms. And if the American people were smart, they won't buy any product they manufacture. And you know what? That business will be gone. Well, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
How many Chinese businesses in China are allowed to be bought by an American company?
Probably the answer that you already know is none.
Exactly. Now, why are they allowed to come here and buy up America?
Because supposedly we're a free country.
Yeah, well, I got news for them. We're not free. It's costing them money to come here, and the people are selling their souls. Are what we're going through right now free, Paul? I saw a thing this morning on the computer that Costco, Sam's Club, Walmart, and I guess one of the other big stores that have grocery stores along with clothing or whatever else.
Right.
They're not allowed to sell anything else in those stores except groceries now.
Really?
I
don't think that's true.
This morning. I'm going to find out.
No, I don't think that's true.
I
hope you're wrong.
I hope I'm wrong, too.
But I don't think that's true.
This is one time I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Because if it is, they're really infringing on things here.
I'm pretty sure you are. It would be almost impossible for a clerk to stop somebody from buying, you know, going into Walmart.
Well, you would think so.
Throw a pair of handkerchiefs.
You would think so.
Yeah. So,
but you know, Paul, the day the earth still needs to end, Paul. This is nothing but a farce. There's no more people going to die from this than the regular flu. And the American people, I think, are starting to see it.
We're talking. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I mean, I think the American people are starting to see this because I notice more people venturing out here and there and this and that.
Yeah.
The media did nothing but try to scare anybody. I think that Dr. Fauci is nothing but an Obama leftover. He's not with any Trump. Him and Trump going back and forth with the certain things. This guy, I want to know how long he's been on the government payroll. From what I understand, this guy never hit a doctor's office.
Well, I don't know that Fauci is. I think Fauci is sincere. By the way, we're talking with Andrew the Master Barber. He's the proprietor of the Barber Poll. That's mainstream America's thinking as to what is going on. But, you know, he's probably, I think he's a sincere guy. I think that lady Dr. Birx is also a sincere person.
Well, we're going to find out about it.
Yeah, we're going to find out. Now, preview that we want. That I was going to ask you about this. We have spent, or are going to spend, or are poised to spend, nearly $5 trillion because of this coronavirus. $5 trillion. And this gets back to the nanny state complex and top-down and socialism and all of the other things. And I remember reading in history about how Franklin Roosevelt, during the Depression, he had all of these government programs. And you know what? It didn't slow down the Depression one day. In fact, it may have extended it. And I'm wondering, right. I'm wondering if this is, you know, this is going to, we got enough to worry about to get our economy back.
Well, Paul, you keep giving the dog a bone, they're going to expect it from you every day.
Right.
Okay? $5 trillion more, they're out of their mind. We don't have it.
Right, we're borrowing it. We're borrowing it again, as usual. Or maybe we're printing money.
If they were going to say, you know what? Okay, we're going to spend this money now. However, all industry from now on is going to be in this country that is for this country. Okay, where we can profit from something. You've got to do something to get this revenue back. You can't just sit there and say, we're putting out $5 trillion. Everything's going to remain the same because we're going down.
Yeah.
You've got to have something here to back up the money you're spending. The strength of a country is based on its ability to produce. And the only thing we produce in this country is whisk brooms now, buddy.
That's right. Okay?
We need to start producing to get our strength back. If we don't produce, this country is doomed.
Well, it would seem that Donald Trump wants us to become the great manufacturing company country that we were many years ago. He's been pushing for it. And, of course, what's going on now with China and everything else, I think people are going to start thinking twice. And maybe, indeed, there are some of these companies that went overseas, too, you know, with the incentives that they may be able to give these companies incentives, you know, to come back and reroute here. What do you think?
Well, they've got to come back. Okay, the American greed has got to stop. If we want this country to survive as we know it, the land of the free and the home of the brave, we need to bring production back. That's what's going to bring our strength back. We have no choice. If we don't, we're doomed.
Well, Andrew,
we're falling right into what the globalists want us to do, Paul. Mm-hmm.
I think people are thinking twice and starting to become maybe, let's be honest, they're starting to become more nationalistic in certain ways and realizing that, yes, we want to be involved globally with this, that, and the other thing, but maybe we've got to remember we're Americans first. Anyway,
it's like my mother used to say, Paul, charity begins at home.
True, true, true. Andrew, thank you so very much. I always enjoy talking with you. I'm glad to hear you're still staying safe. Have a wonderful Easter. And I'm going to take a little break next week myself, but I'm looking forward to talking with you again down the road.
And hopefully we'll all be back in business, Paul.
That is
you
for
take
sure.
Take care, my friend.
All right. Thank Bye-bye. You, sir. There he is, Andrew the Master Barber. Always love talking with him. Going to take our final break on this Good Friday. When we come back, if you've got a cat, there's a chance they're susceptible to this coronavirus. We're going to tell you about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is
all... Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. By the way, we are here Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Great Tantalk Radio Network. Always delighted to have you with us. And if you've got cats, and I have cats, there is a new study. It's been conducted by researchers in China, so maybe we got to be careful with this study. But it found that the coronavirus does not appear to infect dogs, pigs, chickens, and ducks, but does and can infect ferrets and cats. Ferrets and cats. Now, Ed, you've got dogs, right? But you don't have any cats.
Nope.
Okay, so we don't have to worry for you. I got two cats, but did you know the cats, according to this study, can likely catch the virus in respiratory droplets? So let's say you go out to the store and you come home and you got a little bit of a, even though you don't know it, you might have picked it up, and you cough, maybe your cat can get it. Now, for the study aimed at finding animals susceptible to the virus so that they could be used, by the way, in testing for potential vaccines, the researchers went ahead, they infected dogs, pigs, chickens, ducks, ferrets, and cats with a high dose of the SARS-CoV-2. That is indeed the virus that causes COVID-19, okay? So they infected them intentionally. And in cats, the virus was detected in the nose, mouth, and small intestines. So the researchers also tested kittens, and they concluded that they too are susceptible to the virus, discovering what they described as massive lesions in their noses, throats, and lungs. So usually you don't worry about the transfer of a virus from an animal to a human or a human to an animal. Otherwise, you know what? We'd all be wiped out by now, right? Because of those kinds of things. Of course, we did get it in the transfer of this COVID-19 virus. Many think it came from a bat and then went to another animal like a pangolin. And then because in China, they eat. They eat some of these animals. They really do.
It's faster to name the animals they don't eat.
I know. They eat dogs.
Yeah. I saw photos. It was pretty disturbing.
Oh, I don't want to even think about that.
It was disturbing.
Yeah. So here we are with these cats and ferrets. Now, ferrets are also a pet, not as obviously as common as a cat. But in ferrets, the researchers detected the virus in the nasal passageways and in their, you know, in their upper respiratory, in their mouth area and in their tonsils and soft palate. So, wow. I always thought, you know, it's just going to be with humans. You don't have to worry about your pets. But unfortunately, you may have to be careful with your pets. Don't cough. Don't cough in front of your pets anymore.
Mm.
All right. Also, there is a group called Samaritan's Purse. Now, it's kind of a Franklin Graham Christian group. But they have gone to New York City, and they have set up a field hospital in Central Park, along with others, to help treat patients mm-hmm. that need it. Well, Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York, has accused this group of, let me put it the other way. The group, Samaritan's Purse, is accusing Mayor de Blasio of being anti-Christian after he questioned whether the 68-bed field hospital that they set up in Central Park would treat all patients equally. So de Blasio was thinking that maybe if you're a Jew or mm-hmm. you're an atheist or whatever, or a Hindu, that they're going to turn you away. Well, that's not the case. And William Donahue, who is the president of the Catholic League for Religious and Civil Rights, has slammed de Blasio for even bringing that thing up and questioning the motives. He said there's nothing going on with that. They're going to treat everybody the same, and they're there, and God bless them for being there.
With all these tents that are being set up in Central Park and other places, has anybody seen any footage of patients in these tents?
Yeah, that's a very good point. You know that they set up in the Seattle Stadium in Seattle, Washington, they set up with the Army all these beds, and mm-hmm. they had separators. They had this shot. And did you know they didn't take in one patient? And in fact, they closed it down because the governor of Washington or the mayor of Seattle, one or the other, said, you know what, we don't need it. Send these people in the bed somewhere else, which is an indication, like you have said before, it's not. Maybe what's going on isn't really going on. There isn't that much going on.
I haven't seen one piece of footage of an overwhelmed hospital
right.
or anything like that. And you know, when anything happens, there's always footage out there. The only thing was the CBS footage that they lied about and said it was a hospital in New York, and it was actually Italy.
Yeah. It seems like the hospitals are less filled now than normal.
Yeah. And the one hospital, some CFO from one of the hospitals in New York said that the hospital was losing money hand over fist because they canceled all their elective surgeries to treat all the COVID-19 patients that haven't shown up yet.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, nobody. We're all feeling our way in the dark on this whole pandemic. We're making mistakes.
Better safe than sorry.
Exactly.
But listen, they were going after the president and saying that he wasn't ready for this, and now it turns out that it's not as big as they thought it was.
Well, you know, that's good news. I would rather overreact than underreact. So let's be happy that that's occurring. And let's hope that here on this Easter weekend, when we should be thinking about other things, especially if we're Christians, that this is going to be like, I don't know, maybe the light is seeping back into our lives, right? So that's the situation. All right. Ed, it is time for you to get over on the drums. Mm-hmm. Ed's a great drummer, by the way. If you listen to him, he does a great, great, great series of songs on the drums. We've got the top 10 greatest actors, Ed, who never have won an Oscar. And I found this very, very interesting. There is one mistake in it, because after doing this top 10, turns out one of these actors indeed did get an Oscar. I want to see if you know who it was.
Okay?
So here we go. Top 10 greatest actors who never won an Oscar. Number 10. Jake Gyllenhaal.
Nope.
He's never won an Oscar. He was nominated once for Brokeback Mountain.
Sorry, I missed that movie.
Oh, that was a kind of a weird one. Okay, you know about that. Number 9. The boyfriend of Elizabeth Taylor, Richard Burton. You would think he would have won an Oscar. Right. He was nominated for an Oscar 7 times. Never won.
Or at least borrowed one of hers.
Yeah. Number 8. Brad Pitt.
Poor Brad.
He's been nominated for a supporting role in 12 Monkeys and the lead role in The Curious Case of Benjamin Button and Moneyball. But it claims here that he's never won an Oscar. He has won an Oscar.
Oh.
He just did.
Okay.
Yeah. He won an Oscar as Best Supporting Actor for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Just so you know. So that's a mistake. Number 7. Michelle Williams. We got to move quickly. 4 nominations, no Oscars. Number 6. Ed Harris. You know him?
Mm-hmm.
Ed Harris, nominated for Best Supporting Actor for Apollo 13, and also for The Truman Show and for Pollock. Never won. Number 5, Peter O'Toole, Lawrence of Arabia. He should have won for that, by the way. Never did get one. Nominated 8 times. Number 4, Joaquin Phoenix, nominated 3 times for Gladiator, Walk the Line, and The Master. Number 3, do you remember Annette Bening?
Sounds familiar.
She's married to Michael Douglas.
Okay.
She's had nominations for The Grifters, American Beauty, Being Julia, and The Kids Are All Right. Never won. And then her 20th Century Woman, and she never won that. Number 2. Ralph Fiennes. You remember him? Ralph Fiennes?
No.
You don't remember him. Nominated for Best Supporting Actor for Schindler's List in 1994. The English Patient, another Best Picture. He didn't win for that one. Anyway, didn't win. Number 1.
No idea.
Glenn Close. Remember her?
Oh, wow.
Okay, nominated 6 times. World According to Garp, The Big Chill, The Natural, Fatal Attraction, and many more. But she didn't win, my friends. Have a wonderful Easter weekend. Be safe. We're going to take next week off. After that, we're back. Remember, freedom works.
Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3